On Wednesday, lawyers from the American Civil Liberties Union will present arguments before the Military Commission at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, challenging the censorship of testimony by 9/11 defendants about their torture at the hands of American interrogators. Nate Wessler is a legal fellow at the ACLU's National Security Project. He says the government claims that the testimony must be censored because the defendants' accounts of their own torture are classified.
The government's argument is basically that these men were, in the words of the government, quote, exposed to or participated in a classified interrogation program run by the CIA. That's the torture program that is now illegal and has been ended by the Obama administration. Now, to say that these men participated in that program is really quite outrageous. They were subjected to torture. But the government argues that by being subjected to that torture, if they speak about their memory of their experience and their abuse, they will somehow be revealing national security information, and therefore these proceedings have to be censored.
Classification is not intended to cover up government wrongdoing. In this case, these are violations of national and international law. Is there any legitimacy to saying that this is a classified interrogation program? I mean, they stopped doing it, so it shouldn't be a secret anymore.
That's right. That is one very good reason why this information cannot be considered classified anymore. The president issued an executive order ending these practices. They are clearly illegal under the law of the United States and international law, and they are not occurring anymore. So that is one reason why release of these defendants' memories of their torture won't cause any harm to the national security, because it won't release any information about anything that the government is still doing. Perhaps equally important, though, it's really unprecedented for the government to assert that information in the memory of a person that they got from their own personal observations and experience can be classified when that person is not an employee of the United States government and never signed any kind of a classified information agreement. These defendants were subjected to torture involuntarily, and the government is somehow arguing that because they were involuntarily subjected to this treatment, their memory of that same treatment can be classified, but there's simply no authority under U.S. law that allows the government to classify the contents of somebody's head when that information was gained because the government gave it to them freely by subjecting them to this program.
How amenable is the Military Commission to arguments such as this? It seems to be pretty much make-it-up-as-you-go-along kind of justice. Do you have any reason to believe that these arguments will be persuasive to the Commission?
There are, for sure, many reasons to be cautious about how fair or effective the military commissions will be. They are a form of court that were established specifically for these trials at Guantanamo. They don't have their own body of legal precedent like the federal courts would, and there are a number of rules governing their function that really calls into question how fair they can be. That said, however, there is really no question whatsoever that the First Amendment protects the public's right of access to these criminal proceedings. For centuries, the First Amendment has guaranteed open trials, both in criminal courts and during wartime in military commissions. And there are many examples of how the public's access to military commissions and criminal trials has been protected by the courts. So we think that it is very clear and will be clear to the Commission that the First Amendment applies and that it protects the public's right of access. And it remains to be seen whether the Commission will agree with us that there is simply no good reason to try to censor the statements of these defendants and thereby to prevent the public from actually having access to important parts of these proceedings.
What about the defendants themselves? These are the 9/11 defendants. These are the supposed masterminds and facilitators of 9/11. Do they face potential death penalties in this case?
Yes, they do. For all five of these defendants, the government is pursuing death penalty eligible charges, which really just underscores how important it is that the public have full access to all parts of these proceedings. These men are charged with involvement in extraordinarily serious crimes that have had a tremendous and horrible impact on many people in this country. And the death penalty is the most severe and sobering penalty that can be enacted on a person. And so if the public should have full access to any kind of proceeding, it is surely this kind, where so much is at stake. And the public's interest in fairness and accuracy is so high. And for the government to try to assert that so fundamental an issue as how it has treated these defendants and how it got information from them, potentially incriminating information, they may argue, for them to try to conceal that is really stunning and totally unacceptable.
Could the fact of torture during interrogation compromise the government's case against any or all of these defendants and possibly make the prosecution or penalty other than what the government desires in this case?
Well, yes, it could be relevant in two ways. First, if the government is trying to rely on statements that these defendants made while under torture, those statements should be excluded because they were involuntarily given. There are centuries of jurisprudence in the United States and in Anglo-American law that established the very firm principle that confessions made under torture are simply not allowed to be used in a prosecution because they violate every principle of decency and fairness in our system, and they also are completely and utterly unreliable. The second way it's relevant is at the sentencing phase, where the defense is allowed to and really required to present any information in mitigation. So that's any information that would argue against imposing that most severe punishment, the death penalty. And the fact that these defendants were tortured and the details of that torture are very relevant to whether they deserve the death penalty or whether the government should be allowed to impose it.
Nate Wessler is a legal fellow with the American Civil Liberties Union's National Security Project.